Joshua chapter 16, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And the lot of the children of Joseph fell from Jordan by Jericho unto the water of Jericho on the east, to the wilderness that goeth up from Jericho throughout Mount Bethel, and goeth out from Bethel to Luz, and passeth along the borders of Arki to Ataroth, and goeth down westward to the coast of Japhleti, unto the coast of Beth-horon, the nether, and to Gezer. And the goings out thereof are at the sea. So the children of Joseph, Manasseh, and Ephraim took their inheritance. And the border of the children of Ephraim, according to their families, was thus, even the border of their inheritance on the east side was Ataroth Adar unto Beth-horon the upper. And the border went out toward the sea to Mikmethah on the north side, and the border went about eastward to Ta'anath Shiloh, and it passed by it on the east to Janohah. And it went down from Janohah to Ataroth and to Na'arath, and came to Jericho, and went out at Jordan. The border went out from Tapuah westward unto the river Kanah, and the goings out thereof were at the sea. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Ephraim by their families. And the separate cities for the children of Ephraim were among the inheritance of the children of Manasseh, all the cities with their villages. And they drave not out the Canaanites that dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites unto this day, and serve under tribute. May God add his blessing to the reading, to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, it's a short chapter. It is indeed parallel in very many details to what we had in the last chapter. There is a statement of the larger inheritance generally, and then the borders of the smaller inheritance are detailed. And then at the end of the chapter, there is a statement that not all of the people, not all of the Canaanites were driven out. And this does indeed parallel the last chapter. So we have the southern kingdom described in large view, then the kingdom of Judah, or the tribe of Judah, in incremental border, and then the Jebusites were not driven out. And then in Ephraim, we have the large inheritance of the tribe of Joseph, Joseph being Ephraim and Manasseh, and then the incremental borders of Ephraim, and then guess what? The Gezerites were not driven out. And that is basically the outline of the two chapters. So the outline that I've given you this afternoon would fit here as well, that there are very real places, very real borders, very real geographical features over there in that part of the earth that are referenced here. Did you notice there were two towns, Beth-horon the upper and Beth-horon the nether? Those two towns are actually fairly close to one another, just a couple miles apart. One is a high place and one's a low place. That's a difference in elevation between those two cities. That's a very real geographical detail that helps us to see that this is tied to actual history. And what I didn't mention in the last chapter, I want to be sure and mention this chapter because I specifically saved it for this chapter, and that is that there is a type here. There is a historical type. This is a real historical figure here. It's a real historical, it's real history. I guess it is the way I ought to say it. It's real history that these people, the Israelites, moved into the land of Canaan, and they were given these borders, and they had, and Ephraim had this stream on the north, and this place in the south, and this ridge here, and this hill here, and the sea over there, and the Dead Sea on the other side, and the River Jordan over here, and so on. All that were real borders. And then in the midst of that was this town that was called Gezer. And in Gezer, now if you look at Gezer, it's got a star on it on most Bible atlases that you look at. And that's because it was a capital city. It was a principal city of the Canaanites. Probably very well fortified to the point that they could not break down the walls or did not have the wherewithal or did not have the strength or didn't have the stick-to-itiveness or the perseverance to take care of the Gezerites. Remember that they were promised by the Lord that no nation, no city would stand against them. And yet, they give up on conquering Gezer. Well, I just think that this is a real historical event, but that it is also typical of what we are to do in our lives. Or maybe not so typical of what we are to do in our lives. Remember what the Apostle Paul says in Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, he tells us, "If then ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. For ye died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth." Mortify. You know what that means. It means to put it to death. Put to death those remaining sins. What does the apostle say in Hebrews chapter 12? "Seeing then we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." Isn't this indicative of us as human beings in general, that we start but do not finish? That we have better intentions than we have strength to continue? We may start out on a course of mortifying sins, but we break off. We do not persevere. We faint by the way. We lose hope. We lose heart. It becomes hard. I remember I was sitting counseling with a particular family, and they said, "We have this problem." And I said, "Well, what you need to do for that problem is this. This is where you need to start." "Well, that would be really hard." Yes, it would be hard. The struggle against sin, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 7, is a mighty struggle. It's not for wimps. And yet we find ourselves to be wimps, don't we? We must apply to the Lord Jesus Christ for strength. Just as the people of Israel of old, whether it was in Judah, relating to the Jebusites, or here in Ephraim, relating to the Gezerites, they should have applied themselves unto the Lord. They should have sought the name of their God. And they should have said, "We cannot conquer this city. Please, Lord, help us." You have a city that you can't conquer? You have something that is just sticking in your craw that you can't get over? Do you have a grudge that you're holding against someone? Do you have a sin that is besetting you? Do you have something that is keeping you from being where you should be, and you struggle and you struggle and you struggle and you faint and you lose heart and you fall by the wayside instead of persevering? Apply unto the Lord. Make use of the means that He has given you. Word, sacraments, prayer. Bring somebody in to help you if you need. But don't let the Jebusites continue in the land. Don't let the Gezerites continue. Don't let those idols continue in your heart. That land that's mapped out there in your heart, that is real borders, they're spiritual borders, but they are real borders nonetheless, they belong to the Lord. Every inch of that land, every inch of your heart belongs to the Lord. Don't let the Jebusites set up house, set up shop in your heart. All right, let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of psalms.